We pray. Heavenly Father, in the quiet of this evening, draw our hearts ever to you. Through the power of your holy word, unfold your mystery and your majesty divine, that we might see anew the height and depth of your enormous love, that you would ransom us, rescue us at your great cost, that you would make us your own children. Give us a holy hunger for every word that comes from the mouth of God. In Christ our Savior, amen. For our devotion, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff and hit him repeatedly on his head. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. The word of the Lord. Americans seem to love movies where there's gunfights and car crashes and buildings blown up. We love to watch all the gore and the violence without suffering any of the pain. In movies, no one really gets punched in the face or shot by an AK-47. Or run over with a car. It's all special effects. Oh, but those special effects, they draw us in and make us feel like we're right there. And then when the show is done, we get to walk away untouched. Not necessarily the case if we're walking the streets of Chicago and we happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. A thief might slam a baseball bat into our head, break our cranium, all so that they can take our wallet. All of a sudden, there's no special effects involved there. We will find ourselves either in the hospital, on life support, or perhaps in the morgue. There are no special effects. With all the pain and suffering that Jesus endured, it was a real deal. The beating and the blood really did happen. And we need to see the real hands of brutality, the real suffering and pain of Jesus, so that we might comprehend what their brutality means to us. There's opposites that stand side by side in the brutal life of these soldiers. The most loving and protective hands can, in a moment, become brutal beyond belief. A soldier's hands that rub his son's back to soothe and ease him, slap the whip, the metal-tipped whip, down on the back of Jesus, and rip it open. The soldier's hands that weave together beautiful flowers to adorn his wife's head twist thorn branches to make a crown of blood and shame to pierce down to Jesus' cranium. The soldier's hand that cracks the ball way out in the outfield as he's playing ball with his son, also picks up the stick and cracks it against Jesus' cheek. The soldier that lovingly, beautifully builds a treehouse for his children to play in picks up that very same hammer and drives spikes through Jesus' hands and feet, driving it deeply into the wood of that cross bringing a sudden flow of blood and quivering of pain that radiates up and down the arms and legs. It's not a movie. It's all very real, the savagery, the brutality, the joy in the soldiers. The hands these Roman soldiers had were very well trained to be brutal. And so we contrast ourselves with them. We're not cold-blooded and brutal as they were, are we? Our hands are loving and gentle. We use our hands to pick people up, not to tear them down. We don't get in fist fights. We don't whip our enemies. We've never nailed anyone to our garage door. Our hands show such kindness and love and sympathy. But then in a moment, how quickly we can brutalize someone under our power. Jesus said, "Whatever you have done for the least of these brothers of mine, you have done for me." Does it also follow then that whatever we have done to them, we have done to Christ? Does that include when we smack down our troublesome neighbor or an obnoxious co-worker? When we torture others with our crabbing and complaining, our whining and belittling, our criticisms and our lying, our manipulations and our gossiping, we're actually punching Jesus in the face. When we cheat, deceive, lust, and hate, and envy, we're spitting in our Savior's face. Our loving hands can be so brutal. What opposites? The weak defeat the Almighty. Had these soldiers realized who they were truly beating up, they had no clue. They would have cried out for mercy. In Jesus' hands were 12 legions of angels standing with their hands on their sword, ready to strike these soldiers down with their heavenly swords. But Jesus commanded them to stand back and to watch as these wicked men beat his face bloody, swollen, beyond recognition. Jesus could have burnt these soldiers back with the fires of hell, melted their flesh, but instead he allowed them to rip open his back and pull out hunks of flesh with their whips. Jesus could have raised his hand with the hammer of justice and nailed these soldiers to the basement floor of hell. But he rather allowed them to nail him to the cross. Jesus could throw down lightning bolts from heaven and fry us right where we stand or sit. For all the evil we have concocted in our minds, all the poison that drips from our lips, all the daggers in our hands. What opposites? The innocent becomes the guilty. Jesus endured all this abuse because it was his Father's plan for him to take our place. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made his Son to be sin. As we look at the crucifix that hangs above our altar, does anything there look a little strange? Anything there that kind of doesn't look like what Jesus crucifixion might have looked like? Well, To my knowledge, I don't think that Romans have ever built any crosses where the crossbar is bent. Oh, did our artist make a mistake when he crafted ours? No, our crossbar is bent under the weight of our sins that Jesus is carrying for us. God placed all sins on him. And so the sins of these brutal Roman soldiers was Jesus' sin. The sin from our brutal hands became the sins of Jesus' hands. Our lying tongues became his lying tongue. He who never wanted to take anything from anyone stunk with the foul odor of our lust for forbidden sex, our greed for more money, more stuff, more of what everyone else has. He stunk with our thrill of stealing or destroying what doesn't belong to us. Jesus even carried our crimes to the cross, our crimes against his heavenly Father. Our apathy toward his holy word is like spitting in God's face. Our reluctance to worship him is nothing short of treason, a coup against the King of Kings. And Jesus made it all his own. We deserve the fires of hell. But in place, Jesus was abandoned to save us. And in him, we have forgiveness. There is an old black and white photo that's around 100 years old or so. It pictures a whole town worth of people out in a field having a great big picnic. They're enjoying themselves. It's festive. It's rejoicing. And there's a big oak tree in the middle of the field. And from one of the branches of that oak tree is hanging a black man. Hands of sinful brutality. Can you imagine how odd that would be had we been there and we pointed up to the black man hanging in the tree and we say, "He is my Savior." Well, people think it's just as odd and crazy that we would point to Jesus hanging on the cross and say, "See, he is my Savior." What an opposite. He wins by losing. He defeats our enemies by allowing brutal men to crush him. What an opposite that the guilty become the innocent. By his wounds, we are healed. The centurion standing beneath the cross cried out, "Surely this was a righteous man." I like to think that some of those soldiers that beat up Jesus later on, especially after his resurrection, lifted those brutal hands to heaven and prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This Lenten season, we could pass through it like a visitor at a museum. Or we can pause and lift up our brutal hands and cry out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." We stand beneath Christ's cross and before his open grave, also that we might once again fathom how high and big and wide our Lord's love is for us, that he would do all this to rescue us. We will never know the wrath of our Heavenly Father, for Jesus bore it all. Rather, in Christ, he lifts us up in his righteous right hand and protects us all our days and takes us home to heaven. You know, Americans enjoy in their movies also a good love story. Oh, do we have a good love story to tell? Only it's true. It's not make-believe. another opposite, that we can forgive and love those who lift up their hands of brutality toward us. Our enemies might find great sport in torturing and tormenting Christians, in throwing us to the lions, impaling us on stakes, on burning us to death in iron cages or setting our churches on fire. But God has made us ambassadors of His love. Lord, may our families and friends see Your love through our hands and hearts and words. Move them to come and join us beneath Your cross and before Your open grave, that they might also join us in Your eternal paradise, now and forever. Amen.